Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The base of my message this morning comes from our gospel text. Jesus says these words, John 8, verse 36. We'll get there here this morning. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Dear friends, what is the Reformation about? I mean, I know we're wearing red here this morning. We all know that about 502 years ago, a really strange guy was walking around Germany and posted 95 theses, 95 points on a piece of paper to a church door. What significance is that going to have in your life today, in the next year? We're going to do this again in a year. What difference will it make? Does it? I don't know. Think about that this morning. I was thinking about that this last week as I was prepping my message and kind of taking to heart the words here of Jesus in John chapter 8. And I think I've come up with something that spoke to my heart that I want to share with you here this morning. I think one of the gifts that the Reformation can have for us today that can really affect our life has to do with rules and authority. That doesn't sound fun. You might be wondering, man, the pastor's really off today. What did he do in Michigan when he was gone? How do you feel about that word, rules and laws? You may be excited. Some of you might like laws or rules. There might be some here this morning. By the way, we have someone that works for the police here this morning. I got to be careful with rules. We'll get to that in just a second. Rules. I have to admit that as I think about rules, I scratch my head, and I think a lot of them really don't have a point. And I wonder about the point behind the rules that are out there so often in society and the world. That came to fruition for me this last week, and I recognized it as I was traveling from Western Michigan for the wedding that we were at. And Kaya was with me in the back seat of a rental car. We drove from Western Michigan down through Chicago. And I heard about a rule that I thought had gone to a bygone age. I heard about a rule about toll booth taxes as I was driving. Imagine that. On the south side of Chicago, there's about, some of you, we got a few Chicagoans here this morning. On the south side of Chicago, on that highway, there are about five tax toll booths that you have to pass through. Imagine going 75 miles per hour, bumper to bumper, in rush hour traffic, in a rental car. If that's not hard enough, imagine a sign coming your way that says, please move four lanes over to the right-hand lane to pay the tax in the toll booth. Very stressful. So after we had done this for three toll booths, a little voice in the back, who was in charge of the money for the toll booth, Kaya, said, Papa, I don't get it. What is the deal with these toll booths? We don't have to pay these sorts of things in Oregon. And when she asked me that question, I honestly thought about it. I was like, sure, coming from her position, she's never seen a toll booth. And I hadn't seen one for many, many years. I began to scratch my head and wonder, what in the world is this for? What a silly, silly rule. When we don't see the point behind a rule, we tend to scratch our head and wonder, what's the point? Right? I think we all have experienced that. You know, back in Martin Luther's day, there were a lot of people scratching their head with the rules that were coming their way, taught from the church, taught from society. Martin Luther was scratching his head. Here's one reason why he was scratching his head. There was such a thing as indulgences. These were little pieces of paper that cut the temporal punishment that a dead relative had while they were living in purgatory. Now, I want to get it right here this morning. The Roman Catholic Church taught that Jesus' sacrifice forgave all sins, but the teaching in the church before Luther came was that you had to buy an indulgence to cut down the temporal punishment of people that were sitting in purgatory. These were the papers that were being sold. And as they went out, Luther wasn't the only one scratching his head. But a lot of people were starting to scratch their head about these indulgences because this rule's not found in the scriptures, in the Bible. There were other rules that were put down, like priests had to be celibate. Now, that caused Martin Luther to scratch his head. It also caused him to look over at where the nuns were. And he actually ended up marrying a nun. That's a true story. But you see, it wasn't just Luther. It was other people who were beginning to scratch their head and wondering, that's not found in the scriptures. These rules are really, really strange. Another rule, I could go on and on. Here's another rule, gives you the heart of what was happening. You had to believe in the Immaculate Conception of not just Jesus. You had to believe in the Immaculate Conception of Mary, his mother. That got a lot of people scratching their head in the 16th century. Now, when you have a rule and you scratch your head, the next step, you scratch your head and you wonder what's the point of a rule. The next step, maybe you can relate to this, is to completely disregard the rule, right? Okay, there we were. We had gone through about 3 toll booths. Remember the scene here. We had gone through 3. We had paid for 3 toll booths, the tax in those toll booths on the side. We had to go over 4 or 5 lanes to get over, going 75 miles per hour. I think I'm pretty good at that, but not everyone's good at that. And you're going in inside and outside of traffic. And at this point, after going through 3 toll booths, we got to the 4th one. And I have to tell you, I didn't see the point in this rule. And that's when my mind started to play tricks on me. I thought these were the sort of thoughts that were going in my mind, because the rule didn't seem like it had a point behind it. Number one, I thought, I had already paid the 3 toll booths before. What difference would it make if I didn't pay the 4th? Or $1.10, what difference is that really gonna make in the grand scheme of things? $1.10. Why not just bypass? Then the next thought was, boy, it looks like there's some other cars that are just bypassing the toll booth, and they're not getting caught. I wonder if I could do that as well. And then the next thought was, I don't see any cameras. I don't see any police. I wonder if I... Now, I'm being very honest with my thoughts. I promise you I paid the toll booth tax. I did. Every single one I paid. But I want to tell you, in my sinful thoughts, that was there. Because I didn't see the point behind the rule. I didn't understand what it was. And the next step, as soon as you don't understand a rule, the next step is to disregard it completely. This is true for rules in our schools, rules in our community, rules in our church. If we put a rule out there and you didn't understand it, pretty quickly you'd disregard it and you wouldn't pay attention. This is what was happening in the church in Luther's day. All sorts of rules, all sorts of teachings that made people scratch their heads, and they ultimately got to the point where they disregarded even the good rules that were out there in society. Do you know the background of the small catechism and the large catechism in the Lutheran Church? Now, for our confirmands, I want you to know, the purpose of the small catechism and large catechism wasn't to bring torture to teenagers 500 years later, okay? Here's the background, the small catechism, large catechism. Luther went out into the countryside in Germany. He found that no one even knew the basics of the Christian faith, that not even the pastors could recite the Ten Commandments, that even those who could recite the Ten Commandments, if you read this in the preface of the Large Catechism, even those who could read the Ten Commandments pretty much disobeyed them and didn't think they were really all that important. So Luther wrote the Small Catechism and Large Catechism. So many rules, so much confusion, so much head-scratching. What should we obey the rules? No, let's not do it. Let's back away. This was the church around 1500. Now, where do we find ourselves today in the 21st century? I want to share one study with you here this morning from Barna. 3 years ago, pretty current. Barna asked a variety of questions to those who are, I'll say, baby boomers and older, and also to millennials and all sorts of generations. It asked this question: do you think the country practices morality today? The average was 8 out of 10 people said, we do not practice morality. Does that surprise you? Here's the thing that surprised me. Those who were baby boomers and above, 90% of them said, yeah, there's no morality in the country today. But guess what millennials said? Millennials said, even millennials, 75% of millennials, young people, say, no, There's no morality. There's a problem with morality in today's world. But here's the interesting thing. The next question was, what do you think morality is? Nobody agreed on what morality is. Because there's so many rules, so many laws. What is true for one person is not necessarily true for another. There are no absolutes. There are no rules, this sort of thing. Especially with millennials. 75% of the millennials, we love the millennials, but 75%, my wife is a millennial. 75% of millennials said what is true and right depends on someone's life and their circumstances. That's the world we live in. Rules, too rigid. Rules, no point. Rules, I'm scratching my head. What is this about? Now, I want to tell you the end of the story with the toll booths, okay? Got to the fifth toll booth before Chicago O'Hare Airport. And I got to tell you, my mind completely changed about the rule and about the rules. So this has a happy ending. As I was approaching the fifth toll booth, I had a little angst in me. You're anxious a little bit driving so fast and paying these tolls. It is nerve-wracking during rush hour. And Kaya, she was in charge of the money behind me, passing it up. She did a great job. And I decided on the fifth toll booth that I was going to approach the attendant there and have a sarcastic comment. This was it. What is this tax for? Was my question. Wasn't mean, but it was just, what is the purpose behind this? And in an instant, I realized I was wrong. And I realized the attendant had power and authority. Was an African-American lady. I pulled out my money, and she was turned around, and I asked the question, not in a displeasing way, but I want to know what the tax was for. And she turned, and her eyes had power in them. She said this. I said, what does the tax go for? She came back and said, sir, you want a smooth ride? Yeah. Sir, do you want to make sure your kids are safe as you travel down the road? Of course, yes. Sir, do you want to make sure that other people are safe and that the fire department and the police can make their way to save people? Yes. And at that point, I knew who had the authority. She could have asked for my wallet. I would have handed it over. I would have voted for every tax increase for toll booths. In that moment, I realized who had the power and who had the authority. She had it. Our gospel text this morning, John chapter 8. Jesus is speaking to a bunch of people that felt like they were free. And they had a toll booth type moment with Jesus. They realized in an instant who had the authority. You see, they thought that they were free and could do whatever they want. Now, technically, they were under the rule of the Herodians and the Romans. Technically, there's some of this going on. But you see, they thought they were free and had a free pass because they were descendants of Abraham. And in a moment of having a conversation with Jesus, things change. Jesus says, if you have sinned, you are a slave to sin. You are enslaved, he says. But if the Son sets you free, you are free. Now the conversation goes on. It goes on to the end of chapter 8. But at the end, those Jews knew who had authority. Not just that, Jesus explained what freedom really is. Freedom is not the 4th of July. Freedom is not having autonomy from other rulers and just doing whatever we want. Freedom actually is this. Remember this definition. Freedom is having the right master, Jesus. And coming under his authority, you see, rules make sense. Love makes sense. Forgiveness makes sense. Connection with other people makes sense. As soon as we have that experience with Jesus. That's what I'm thinking about with the Reformation this year, that I'm going to think about for this next year moving forward, is that at a time in which there was so much confusion about rules and laws and what you should follow, people were just didn't even care for the most part, not even the pastors, even in the 15th century, Luther found. What Luther did was not to point them in his direction, but what Luther did is he cleared the clutter and brought clarity to the voice of Jesus, the true master. And as we think about our own age and in our own community, we live in a similar world. No one agrees on morality. Very few people agree about the rules. But what we can do is we can act like Luther. We can let the Reformation have its way in the 21st century. Clear away all the rules, all the clutter, and point to the master, Jesus. Then the rules make sense. Forgiveness makes sense. His love makes sense. And we can live under his authority and live the healthy lives Jesus wants us to. Let's take a moment this morning and pray about that this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we admit that those words, rule and authority, they're not too inspiring. But Lord, help us to see a different way, that when we place ourselves under Jesus' authority, all rules seem to make sense, that come from his voice and from his direction. As we think about the Reformation in our own lives, Lord, may we, above all, clear out all the voices that are out there in our life, and may his speak the most clearly to our hearts, his forgiveness, his love, and his freedom, and his way of living. In Jesus' name, amen.